Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Widely respected man known as Uncle Johnson died in Michigan at the incredible age of 120. His advanced years were thought by those who knew him to be due in part to the cheerful outlook that characterized his life. One day while at work in his garden, he was singing songs of praise to God. His pastor, who happened to be passing by, looked over the fence at his home and called out to him, "Uncle Johnson, you seem very happy today." And the old man replied, "Yes, I was just thinking." "Thinking about what?" questioned his pastor. And Uncle Johnson said, "Oh, I was just thinking that if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table in this world are so good, what will the great loaf in glory be like? I tell you, sir, there will be enough for everyone and some to spare up there." What is heaven like? It's a question I think many believers ponder and probably think about more and more as we age and grow older. The Bible does not tell us a whole lot, but it does give us some peeks into heaven. We'll examine one of the longer looks into heaven and the things that were seen and described in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4, 1-5 reads, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." The Bible teaches that heaven is a literal place. It is a real destination. And those who have trusted the gospel of the grace of God have heaven as their eternal hope. In Revelation 4, verse 1, John wrote, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." The first thing that strikes me about that is that there's a door that opens and closes in heaven, which is interesting. After the door was open, John heard a voice. There are sights to see and sounds to hear in heaven. The voice John heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, he said. We learn whose voice this is by its description of, as it were, of a trumpet. And what John wrote earlier in this book, Revelation 1, 10-11 reads, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, 'I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book.'" The voice that John heard as that door opened in heaven was the glorious voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said of heaven that it is an unknown region with a well-known inhabitant. That prospect for us who believe of meeting our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face in heaven, being with Him forever, is a source of indescribable joy and comfort. One day, we will personally meet the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. The voice of the Lord that John heard said to him, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." "Come up hither" is simply a phrase that introduces John's revelatory vision of heaven. And it reminds us that heaven's location is up and it's above. As John looks into heaven now, he wrote, "And behold," he saw a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. John first sees the glorious throne of God in heaven. There is a throne of God in heaven forever, and one day there will also be a throne of God established on the new earth. There will be a throne on the earth, and there will be a throne in heaven forever. In Revelation, this description of the one who sat on the throne is God the Father. First, we know that the Father has a throne because just a few verses earlier in chapter 3, the Lord told John, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." John attempted to describe the Father as he looked upon the throne, stating, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine or sardius stone." John saw the sovereign, eternal God sitting upon his throne in majesty and splendor. He described his appearance by equating it to precious gemstones. The jasper stone is a clear stone. Sardius is ruby red in color. He who sat on the throne had the crystal clear sparkle of a jasper stone and the fiery bright redness of a sardius stone. Around the throne of God, there was a rainbow in sight like unto an emerald. The one sitting on the throne made the covenant with Noah to never destroy the world by water again, and a rainbow reminds us of God's faithfulness. This rainbow is not the multicolored rainbow we see in the sky, but emerald green in color. God is faithful to the promises and covenants he made with Israel, and he is faithful to the promises by grace he has made to us, the body of Christ, including the promise that we have access to him, and we will rule and reign and live in God's glorious presence in heaven forever. Next, John stated, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." While there is debate as to their identity, I believe these 24 seats around the throne of God that have 24 elders sitting on them are angels and high-ranking ones due to their proximity to the throne of God and their crowns of gold on their head. The Greek word translated as seats in this verse is thronos, which is translated as throne and thrones in other places in Scripture. In Colossians 1:16, Paul wrote of Jesus Christ, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Paul wrote of angels and angelic ranks that Christ created in descending order, beginning with thrones. The 24 seats or lesser thrones around God's central throne are occupied by a special high-ranking class of angels, and it is very possible that these angels are the ones that Paul called thrones. These 24 elders, John wrote, are clothed in white raiment, which is emblematic of their purity. To dwell in God's presence, one must be pure and holy, and their white raiment is emblematic of their purity. And they had on their heads crowns of gold, which speaks to their authority and high rank. Heaven is a place where holy angels of different ranks reside in the presence of God, and they serve him. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that one day we will judge and rule over all the angels in heaven. Next, John observed, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices." When God's presence dwelt on Mount Sinai, when the covenant of the law was made with Israel, we read similar things to the scene of God's throne in heaven. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the whole mount quaked greatly. There is power associated with the scene of God's throne in heaven. John saw flashes of lightnings and rumbling sounds of thunder. Lightnings and thunderings are reflective of the awesome majesty of God and His supreme authority. And then before the throne were seven lamps of fire burning, which are the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God could be referring to the Holy Spirit, because the number seven refers to divine perfection, completion, and wholeness. Thus, this could be identifying the fullness of the Spirit and His perfection as God. Revelation 4, 6-11 reads, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Verses 5 and 6 coincide with the layout of the tabernacle. The writer of Hebrews wrote how the tabernacle, where God's presence resided on earth, was a pattern or the example and shadow of heavenly things. The throne of God is pictured by the mercy seat or the Ark of the Covenant, which is in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. The seven lamps of fire burning are reminiscent of the seven-branched golden lampstand, or menorah, which was before the Ark of the Covenant in the holy place. And then the sea of glass before the throne and the seven lamps of fire, symbolized by the bronze laver full of water, which was before both the Ark and the lampstand in the tabernacle. In 2 Chronicles 4, verse 2, the bronze laver for Solomon's temple was even called the molten sea, or the sea of cast bronze. This molten sea was a large round bronze basin and receptacle for water. It provided water for the priests to wash their hands and feet as they ministered in the temple. The capacity of that large sea of cast bronze was huge, around 18,000 gallons of water. This large round basin of water symbolized the actual large sea of glass, like unto crystal, that is before the throne of God in heaven. It's amazing to think that one day we will see this clear as crystal, calm, beautiful sea with our own eyes one day, and then see the throne of God. Unlike the new earth in the eternal state, there will be no more sea, Revelation 21:1 says, on the earth, but there will be a sea in heaven eternally. The new Jerusalem on the new earth does have a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, but that city has no sea. And Revelation 11:19 further states, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament." This temple in heaven is mentioned more than once in Revelation. So we also learn that there is a temple in heaven with God's Ark of the Covenant in it. And that is an important difference between heaven and the new earth and the eternal state, because on the earth, there is no temple. John wrote in Revelation 21:22, but there is a temple and there will be a temple in heaven forever. Next, John tells us that in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. These beasts are a special class of angels called the cherubim. The cherubim in heaven, again, have reference to the tabernacle, because in the tabernacle, on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, were two golden cherubim. These cherubim faced one another, and they had their wings spread upward, and their wings met each other, shading the mercy seat, and their faces gazed on the mercy seat itself. Figures of cherubim were also woven and embroidered into the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And in the Old Testament, the Lord God is said to dwell between the cherubim. In 2 Kings 19:15, we read, "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone." We see God dwelling between four cherubim here in Revelation 4. The cherubim are called beasts, which in the Greek means a living being or a living creature. They are described by John as being full of eyes before and behind. In this symbolism, while they're not omniscient, these eyes before and behind show that they have clarity, breadth, and depth of vision. Their many eyes symbolize their thorough knowledge, their penetrating perception that makes them alert, vigilant, and immediately aware of whatever is happening that affects their responsibility before God. And then John describes each one of the four cherubs one by one, which describes them as a whole and individually. Verse 7 says, "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf," or the calf of an ox, "and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." These symbols identify the cherubim as powerful, like a lion, servile, like a calf of an ox, intelligent like a man, and swift like an eagle. Each of these cherubim had six wings about him, and these wings refer to their prompt and rapid obedience to fly and execute any and every divine command. And these cherubim rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Because God is always the greatest thing in existence, the cherubim must unceasingly express day and night, nonstop, that He is holy, 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 set apart, greater than all. Lord God Almighty is descriptive of each person of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are equal. They are one, and each person of the Trinity is Lord, is God, and is Almighty. And each person of the Godhead was, he had an eternal past, is, has a continuous present, and is to come, has an endless future. The cherubim give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And as these high and powerful angels give God the glory that is rightly and eternally due Him, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. 24 elders vacate their lesser thrones and seats, and they remove the golden crowns from their heads, and they cast those crowns before the throne of God. This symbolizes the willing submission and surrender of any authority that they have in light of the worthiness of God and His supreme and sovereign authority. And then in light of the cherubim who give glory and honor to God, the 24 elders echo their praise and His worthiness to receive that glory and honor. And they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Heaven is a place where angels praise and worship God and give Him the honor that is rightly due Him. And heaven is a place where mankind also praises God. In Revelation 7, we learn about a great multitude of those martyred during the tribulation. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, or God the Father, and unto the Lamb, or God the Son." You see in that passage that believers who have died and are in heaven are clothed with white robes. These tribulation saints have not yet received their resurrected bodies, which they will receive at the end of the tribulation after Christ's second coming. This teaches us about the disembodied state of believers prior to receiving their resurrected bodies, that they are clothed with white robes until they receive those glorified bodies. One of the 24 elders explained to John why they are white robes. "These are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Their sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, and they are pure and they are righteous. And this elder next told John, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Thus we learn by this that we will not be idle in heaven." Heaven is a place of activity and purpose. Like the angels in heaven, we will willingly submit to God's will, quickly obey Him, gladly serve Him. The elder next told John, "And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Believers have the privilege and the joy of dwelling in the awesome presence of this almighty, eternal God of all majesty and glory that is described in this chapter. In heaven, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These martyred saints, they will have died after having endured severe hardship and suffering in the tribulation, facing hunger, thirst, and heat due to the sun's heat being increased and people being scorched. But in heaven, there is only rest and there is peace. In heaven, there is no hunger. There is no thirst, no pain, no suffering of any kind. We are free from forever from all sorrow, sadness, and hardship. Believers there are cared for by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And like a shepherd caring for his sheep, He will feed and lead believers unto living fountains of waters. Now, whether this is figurative or literal is not real clear, but I really like the thought of being literally fed in heaven and literally seeing and drinking from heavenly fountains of waters. And in heaven, God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, as we will never have reason to shed tears of sorrow again, as we will experience only joy and gladness for eternity. Death brings sorrow. Death brings tears. And so what God wiping away all tears from our eyes means is that our loved ones who are in glory, we will never, ever be separated from them again. Heaven is a place of reunion, being reunited with believing family, loved ones, and friends. And heaven is a place where we will be together with them forever. And stop and think about the peace of God in heaven. The peace of God that will pervade God's heaven, every part of it, that you and I will experience, that total, absolute, calm, and perfect peace of God forever. Heaven is more glorious than anything imaginable. It is a place of perfection, light, life, and beauty. It is a place of dwelling in the presence of Almighty God and experiencing all that goes with living in His holy presence. It is a place where believers will enjoy the presence of their Savior, the presence of holy angels, and the presence of fellow believers. It is a place of no pain, no suffering, a place of utter joy and peace, praise and worship, and activity and service. Are you going to heaven? You can know for sure that you are. Sin is what keeps people out of heaven and God's holy presence. All of us are sinners. Sin is the problem. But Christ came from heaven to this world, and He died for our sins and rose again. He took the judgment that we deserve, and He paid for all our sins at the cross. When we trust that Christ died for us personally and rose again, God washes all our sins away. And heaven's door, that door is wide open for us, and we are welcome there.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.